This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Our final podcast of the year as the Raiders get set to take on the Los Angeles Chargers this upcoming Sunday, New Year's Eve day in Carson, California at the StubHub Center. Interesting spot where they're playing this game for the Silver and Black. The Raiders lost earlier in the season to the Chargers on a last-second field goal at home at Oakland, and now the Silver and Black have an opportunity to knock San Diego out of the playoffs as the Kansas City Chiefs are already in as the AFC West champions, and the Chargers are looking for a win and some help to get in. We begin this week's podcast by looking back at the loss on Monday Night Football to Philadelphia by a score of 19-10. And it really was 13-10, the last play of the game, the fifth turnover of the second half on the last play, a lateral just to try to keep the ball moving forward, resulted in a last-second touchdown for the Eagles that made that score look a little different. But a loss is a loss, and there's no moral victories this year throughout the Raider Nation as the Raiders again got up to play in a game that they needed to win on Monday night, on the biggest stage that they could play on Christmas night, and came up short again. I thought the defense played well. They played hard in this game. The defense did enough to win that game. They kept getting off the field on third down, which was critical. And Nick Foles really struggled in that game at the quarterback position. He is the player that's going to have to help lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl, as they now have home field advantage throughout the entire NFC. But I got to give the Raiders defense a lot of credit. They held the Eagles to 216 total net yards, 138 passing, and only 78 rushing. And the Eagles ranked third in the NFL, averaging over 386 yards a game. So the Eagles were a really good team coming into the game, and I thought the Raiders outplayed them and should have won. The Eagles were 1-for-14 on third down on Monday Night Football. Coming into Week 16, the Eagles ranked first in the NFL on third down with a success rate of 45.4%. So I just thought that the Raider defense played really hard, and once again, the offense was very inconsistent in this game. The fumbles, the interceptions, once again, were the reason the Raiders lost this game. And it's going to happen. It's a hostile environment. It's a tough place to play. But again, the Raiders kept getting the ball back with an opportunity, even with short fields, to move the ball, and they couldn't put points on the board. And they just let the Eagles hang around in that game as the Eagles played, without a doubt, talk to anybody, their worst game of the year. And they ended up winning that game, which they had everything to play for with home field throughout. So they'll get a bye week now, similar to what we're used to with the Patriots, a home bye week, and then they'll have home playoff games if they can win with Nick Foles. I think if that team shows up in the playoffs and plays that well, I don't think we'll be talking about them as a Super Bowl contender. On the official Raiders podcast, we look at all sides of this. I got great guests coming up. We'll get into the analysis of the game and what happened, and of course, the game coming up with the Chargers. But a couple of the bright spots, again, to see Amari Cooper catch a touchdown was good because I believe he's their ace. He's their young stud wide receiver. Clearly, he had a step back year this year, but on this play, he was wide open and made a play.
Lynch to his right. Amari Cooper quiet so far tonight. Out wide right, watched by Jalen Mills. Slot left, Roberts inside of Crabtree. Carr gonna pump. Go for Amari, wide open. He's got it. He's gone. Touchdown, Raiders.
Yes, sir. Sluggo.
That's a big play at that time because the momentum was back with the Silver and Black. You could hear the fans there in attendance. And Amari hauled in his sixth touchdown reception of 2017, tying his single-season career high from his rookie year. So with all the criticism of Amari Cooper, and he's been banged up this year and the ball hasn't been coming this way, I believe Amari Cooper is still one of the best young talents in this league. And he's just going to have a bounce-back game in Los Angeles against the Chargers and in this offseason take his game to the next level. And for Derek Carr, Derek played inconsistent again. You could look at it, the analysis of Carr. You want to talk about paralysis with overanalysis. There's a lot of heat coming down on this guy. The guy has been playing injured. Obviously, the back injury is very serious. Last year, he had the pinky injury. I talked about the broken leg on Christmas Eve last year. And all he does is come out and give 100%. Has he regressed this year? Statistically, he's not the same quarterback that he was last year, but the effort is there. The emotion is there. And again, unfortunately, in a post-game press conference, he had to take ownership for the loss.
Everyone should feel sick right now. We lost, especially on, you know, in our side of things. We didn't do well enough in the second half to win the game. And, you know, they played well. Defense played well. They kept, you know, getting us the ball back and doing things like that. So just looking at us in our room, we have to be better moving forward. We have one more game this year to go out and do it, and then we got to come out fighting.
And for Derek, he sounds like he's saying the same thing every week, but he means it. What more can he do? He steps up to the microphone. He stands in front of his locker, and he's accountable. And that's all you can ask for your quarterback as he's having a down year. You can tell that he is wearing this on his sleeve. He's wearing it on his face. Derek Carr is an emotional player. And I think we're going to learn in the offseason what the story was with Derek Carr this year. Inconsistency with the pocket breaking down, checking down underneath, a receiver's not getting open downfield. The chemistry with Todd Downing has obviously been called into question all year long. And as the Raiders hope to take a massive step forward in the coming years to get to a Super Bowl in what was looking like a Super Bowl year coming into the season, it's going to be on Carr. Carr just got a huge contract extension. He understands it. And fortunately, he is a workhorse. He's going to be there in the offseason. He's going to improve. He's going to look to make all the adjustments that he has to make. I thought Marshawn Lynch had another big game. He is running hard. For anybody to question the heart and soul of Marshawn Lynch, someone like Khalil Mack, someone like Derek Carr, these guys don't mail it in. They bring their A game every game. Marshawn Lynch, when he gets the ball this year, all I see him doing is running and grabbing, and guys are pulling him, and he's taking two or three guys down with him. He's playing hard. And the offensive line, with either the inability for them to play at their highest level or the scheme, whatever it was this year, I thought Marshawn Lynch in the last couple of weeks has played a vicious brand of running back, but the Raiders can't win, and the Raiders continue to lose games. So now the Raiders get ready for the L.A. Chargers, and this is a game that I had circled when the schedule came out. I always look for that Charger game. Where is it going to be? Last year, when the Raiders ended the Chargers' season, made the playoffs, and they did it in San Diego. It was the last Raider game at Qualcomm, the former Jack Murphy Stadium. There was over 50,000 Raider fans there. No joke. It was like nothing I've ever seen. Working with this team, and especially being a sports fan my whole life, I've never seen that many road fans go to a single regular season game. All well and good. The Raiders clinched and they went to the playoffs. Now they're playing a Charger team that is still alive, and then they're looking for that final wild card because Kansas City has obviously secured the AFC West. With Bosa and Ingram, the way that they're playing in their secondary, Phillip Rivers at quarterback, really after their 0-4 start, the Chargers have turned out, since the 0-4 start, which is a part of this, being one of the most consistent teams in all of football over the final 12, 13 weeks of the season. Now the Raiders have to play a consistent team that's going to be highly motivated. And I'll be there, and I'm interested to see what it looks like, how that stadium, which is small, only 27,000 seats, how many Raider fans are going to be able to get in there. There aren't many Charger fans in Southern California. There are well over a million Raider fans in Southern California, just in L.A. alone, and there's only 27,000 tickets. So booster clubs, tailgates, it is going to be unbelievable to see how many Raider fans try to get there, even though Raider fans have put their heart and soul into this year as the team has come up short and not going to the playoffs. But keeping an eye on the Chargers heading into this game, their defense is better than expected. 14th overall in football in yards. This is a team that gives up about 132 yards a game on the ground. So that's good news for Marshawn Lynch and the Raiders. Maybe they can run the football. But the Chargers' passing defense is legitimate. If Derek Carr has struggled as of late, the Chargers have the third best passing defense in all of football, only giving up 195 yards a game. That's really good. So it's going to be tough to throw for over 200 yards a game on this team, a team that likes to really get after the quarterback and then does an amazing job, in my opinion, of dropping back into coverage and giving you a confused look all the way. And when it comes to the total offense for the Chargers, they're a top 10 team. They're number 8 overall in yards this year. They're running it for a little bit less than 100 yards a game at 98.7, but their passing attack is really solid. 270 yards passing, and that also is 3rd in the NFL behind Pittsburgh at number 2 and the New England Patriots at number 1. So this is a legit balanced team. They've gotten a lot better after that 0-4 start. They've beaten the Raiders. And obviously the Raiders at this point in time don't want to get swept by the L.A. Chargers. They have a lot to play for, a lot of pride. Again, this is our final podcast of the year because we have no playoffs coming. And I'll say this now and I'll say it at the end of the podcast. KeepItToRaiders.com. Follow the Raiders on Facebook and Twitter for all the breaking news and everything that's going to happen in the offseason. And I think there's going to be a lot of moves in the offseason to get this team that took a step backwards to take 2 giant steps forward in the offseason so they can get back to the vision of what this organization is shooting for, an opportunity to play and win a Super Bowl before this team comes to Las Vegas in a few years, and to do it in Oakland in front of the rabid Oakland Raider fans who showed up all year long and were as passionate as I've ever seen them. But there's no more home games, and the Raiders got 1 more game on the road to play for the owner, play for the coaches, play for pride, play for themselves, put it on tape, and beat a rival in the Chargers, a rivalry that dates back to the AFL and the ability to go toe-to-toe and knock this team out of the postseason. So let's get after it. Our final guest, our final legend, former player on the official Raiders podcast for this year, is one of my favorites, if not my favorite Raider of all time. Fred Biletnikoff is one of the great wide receivers of all time, not only a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, a Hall of Famer. The College Receiver Award is named after him. But as I always say, I introduce him as a better husband and a better father for everything that he's done for his late daughter, Tracy, and Tracy's place of hope. And he's kind enough to join us on the official Raiders podcast. Freddie, thanks for doing this. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Well, same to you, JT. Yes, you know, it was a great Christmas, and I'm sure you always have a great Christmas, buddy.
Well, with the 16 and 14-year-old boys who are Raider fans, we have a lot of fun. New gear, but obviously disappointed about what happened on Monday Night Football. Forget that last touchdown for a second on a broken play as they were trying to lateral it. This should have been a 13-10 game. The Raiders, Fred, still struggling on the offensive side of the ball with Carr downing the offensive coordinator and these wide receivers getting open and catching the ball. How frustrating has this been for you to watch?
Oh, well, the bright spot yesterday was Amari Cooper running that little slant and go, you know, for that big touchdown, and that was great to see him come out there and be on the field and do that. He looked terrific at it. And then it just, you know what, it's just when you've been around, number one, and when you've played this game and when you've been around this game, you know, you always look for the bright spots, and there are bright spots. You know, Marshawn ran the ball pretty good yesterday, that was for, 95 yards he had. But there were still some mistakes here and there. But, you know, overall, it was a way to kind of start the last couple games of the season with, you know, getting a win under your belt and beating a team like Philadelphia back there on Monday night. I mean, it didn't happen, but it seemed like I don't know if Philadelphia just played bad or if the Raiders were that good defensively, offensively. It seemed like there were just things out there on the field that it just wasn't getting done as far as, you know, everything, especially with the passing. Because, I mean, number one, you have to have a passing game. You know, you can only run the ball so much. You can only have a running back be effective here and there or whatever it may be during a ball game. But it has to be a lot more, I would think, a lot more urgency, a lot more heart. You know, we could always talk about being competitive and the energy was out there and that type of thing. But you got to play with a lot of heart.
Fred,
and, you know, they really had an opportunity to really prove something on major TV Monday night. Who wouldn't want to do something well on Monday night? But it just didn't happen. And so you're 6-9, and that's, you know, the record shows everything that's happened to you during the year.
Fred, let's go back to your coaching career, because you coached for an awful long time, and you had some of the great receivers, not only Raider receivers, but other receivers that you worked with and talked to over the years with the Biletnikoff Award. And with Amari and Crabtree and the drops this year, I talked to Cliff Branch about it a couple of weeks ago, and Cliff talked about preparation and how you can improve in the offseason. You were known for your hands. They were Hall of Fame hands. But when you had a case at any point in your career where you dropped a football or two and you were frustrated, how did you fix it? And who did you lean on to help you get to the next level with your hands and cut down on drops?
Well, the first thing you have to do when you put yourself in that position and you're trying to regroup and get that mental block out of your mind, it's the fact of just getting back to the fundamentals, and it's just going back through a routine that you have to set up for yourself in the off season and continue it during the season. You know, quite, obviously not as much, you know, during the season because you just don't have that amount of time, but you got to take time every single day just to keep that fundamental routine going. If it's hitting the speed bag, if it's catching the balls from, it's good to catch the balls from the, you know, from that ball machine, but it's not like catching a ball from somebody, you know, from a human being, let me put it that way. And you just got to go and review everything that you've done from, you know, your takeoff, your start, your arms, your concentration on the ball, and get that confidence back. And the number one thing is always, you know, you're always pulling in the game. You always want to get the receivers involved as quick as possible, no matter what route it is. Something that you get a completion, the quarterback feels good, you get the receiver back on track, and then you just have to have that mental attitude about what you need to do as a receiver to keep catching the ball consistently, because that's all it is. You know, nobody cares about if you run a bad route or a good route as long as you catch the ball, you know. And that's one of the things was my emphasis the years that I was able to coach was, you know, you had to put up with a lot of things from the people you're coaching. They're not always going to run the greatest route, but the one thing is at the end is the most important thing, and that's catching the football.
Fred Biletnikoff joins us, the Hall of Famer. Fred, you know, there's a lot of criticism. You know how fans are, and especially the media. We have more media today. We have social media. We have Twitter. We have Facebook. We have all these channels, NFL Network. Everybody's criticizing. And for Todd Downing as the offensive coordinator, he wants to win. He's putting a game plan out there. This team is working hard in practice. They are diligent with their preparation. And it just doesn't seem like there's a sync between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, or at least the ability to attack down field. I think a lot of that has to do with the offensive line is not protecting to the best of their ability. Other teams are coaching well and trying to go with that soft cover too, so it's tough to get deep downfield. All of that coming together, can you talk about the chemistry between an offensive coordinator, a quarterback, and when you were wide receiver on getting on the same page when you were struggling?
Well, for, you know, first of all, there's such a thing as repetition. And the period of time that I played, everybody fit into the passing game where they did, say, two things, two different routes really, really well, and that was like their bread and butter as a receiver and a quarterback. So you understand, you know, what everybody is doing or what that receiver is doing. And you got to repeat plays. I mean, just because a play's not there, say, the first time around, it's going to be there again, because that's what you work on every day. And I believe I was fortunate enough to be in a system where you repeated pass plays. You may do something or put somebody else on a different route that was away from the main part of the route where you wanted to go to with the football. But there's not enough repetition that I see in routes, not only with the Raiders, but with a lot of NFL teams. You know, the teams that really do well, I mean, you take somebody like New England, Pittsburgh, they run the same routes time after time after time. And there's not too much varying in between to put a receiver in a bad position of not being able to perform. We always try to get the receiver in the best position where he could perform and be successful. And that's the whole thing that I was brought up on and what I always taught and was around my entire life. And I don't know if that's true today.
Fred Biletnikoff is our guest. That's really good analysis on that, though. I appreciate that, the repetition because the work, because these coaches are trying their best to get these guys ready to play. And then the schedule this year, Fred, the schedule came out, and you look at them 1-3 against the NFC East, the NFC, that smash-mouth type football, and then these last-second losses. We can't forget, Fred, that last year the Raiders won 7 come-from-behind games, and Carr was captain comeback last year, and this year it just seems like Derek is off a little bit, but I know he's been playing banged up. That back injury, he came back sooner than later, and you were a guy that always played even when you were banged up. How much respect do you have for Carr, considering what he's been through this year, playing banged up, and we won't know until after the season how hurt he was?
Well, you know what? No, I mean, you can't take anything away from the kid. I mean, my God, you break your leg, your back, you know, you're out there playing in a situation where, I don't say you're playing tentatively, but, you know, when you're hurt and you're out there playing, the thing that happens to you is that you know you've been injured, you're trying to get over that mentally, and you're still trying to perform in a game, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that just doesn't work out. Sometimes it doesn't. You get away with things where the game is not that physical, and you could start feeling that in the ball game, and then that's where you get your confidence back from the injury to be able to play with it, whatever it may be. But then when things start going south on you a little bit, then everything seems to come back, and the injury comes back into focus. And like watching Derek this year, I still don't think he's 100% physically. I really feel that. And, I never saw the frustration in his face like I have this year, you know, and out there on the field. And it was just, I say to myself, you know, that's really not him. And I can see the frustration, but the frustration has to be coming from somewhere. And I just don't feel that he's 100% physically. That's just my opinion.
Wrapping it up with Fred Biletnikoff. Fred, I've talked with you throughout the years from your appearance in Super Bowl II and that tough loss and all the big games that you played in and the championship game losses until you won the Super Bowl in Super Bowl XI. I mean, you've been through it all, but you won a lot of regular season games heading into the playoffs and then those unbelievable, dramatic playoff wins and losses. This team, they're close. They're supposed to be close and better than this record here. What do you think needs to be done? Big picture stuff here, because you're not the GM and you're not the owner here, but to know that this team came off 12 wins last year, guys like Cooper and Mack and Carr and some of the Pro Bowlers up front, how they can get this win against the Chargers, end on a positive note, and then go into next year hungrier than ever to get back to where they were, a playoff team that can do some damage in the postseason.
Well, my approach first of all would be, hey, listen, you're playing the Chargers and you want to give them another loss.
Yes.
That's number one, just to set up the statement for the following year. You know, so you have to go down there knowing that obviously they are ahead of you. You can't catch them, but at least be a spoiler. You know, go down there and at least make a statement in the division. I really feel that. Even though San Diego and Kansas City, I really don't truly feel that those two teams are that much better than the Raiders. I really don't. You know, deep inside of me, I really don't. There's part that you don't want to believe it, but I truly believe that they are not that much better than the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And going at this point in the year and going down to San Diego, you still have to make a statement. And, you know, just briefly get back to Todd, you know, with the play calling. You know, you're not always going to have the perfect play call. You're not always going to be able to go out there and everybody's going to be happy with the play that's being sent in. But you know what? That's the play being sent in, and you got to perform it. That's it. You got to execute it, and you got to get it done no matter what. And then, you know, somewhere along the line on the sideline, then you tell the coordinator, hey, you know, we can do this or we can do that, or we're not comfortable with this play. And you got to get everybody comfortable. But, you know, I thought that Monday's game would be a chance to make a statement. I certainly hope that this week's game, they can make a big statement and go out there and play and be the team who they are, because they are a good team. They are a good team. And You know, and going back to all the championship games we lost, you know what? It's disappointing at the end of the year, but the thing about us is at that period of time, we always knew we were going to be there again. After last year's record, you know, all of us had high hopes of them being back in it and all that stuff. And, you know, you got to live and spin off that record from the year before.
Well, Fred, that's a really important point. And one more thing, as you said, you always expected to be back. You had unbelievable talent, great coaching. You just had everything that you needed to get back there again. But what about the hunger for your workouts and the way you prepared and your teammates prepared? Your training camps were insane. The two-a-days, the full pads. So we don't see that anymore. You were hungry.
No, you don't have those training camps anymore. And and my belief is this, and I sincerely believe this, is that these kids aren't getting an opportunity to work at their craft in training camp, because training camp is a working environment. It's not an environment where you put on pads this morning and nothing in the afternoon, and then you have a walkthrough and all this. Training camp to me, and I really see it out on the field, it was a physical time to get in shape, not to only get in shape, but to get prepared for the season. And I don't see that in training camp. Mm-hmm. I don't see that preparation, because it has to be physical. That's the only way you get better, is being able to go out there and get knocked around, keep working. You get used to, your body gets used to being pushed around, hit around, knocked around, and it has to be competitive all the time. It's not training camps aren't competitive. They're a way to get the team through the training camp, it seems. And to me, training camps are at this time a waste of time. I don't even know why. For example, a defensive backfield coach would even take the time to even do tackling drills with the defensive backs, because I mean you have to be very cautious on how you hit a guy.
Right?
How the hell can you play like that?
you know? Yeah. As we wrap this up with Tracy's Place of Hope, your wife Angela, your entire family, your kids, you're always focused on how to make the world a better place. Everything that you've done for your late daughter, Tracy, I know you go back to the Hall of Fame. I know you go back to Florida State. I know you go back to Erie, and you're very active, I'm assuming, with the Super Bowl. What's the next couple of weeks, next couple of months look like for you in your personal life?
Oh, you know what? I'm doing something I haven't done in a long time. I'm going up to Reading. Shasta College is having their sports banquet, so I'm going to be part of that in March. Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun for me to do, and I have to, you know, do a little speech and mm-hmm. and that. Then after that, it kind of slows down a little bit, and you know, home, and then I being home quite a bit and getting things done around here. I got a garage to go through and get that straightened around, and then later on in the year I go to Canada, and we have our golf tournament in May. So.
Absolutely, and it's a staple in my life, because I love to see all your friends come together for Tracy.
Oh, yeah, May 7th.
Yes.
Mark it down.
I will. I'll give everybody the website, and we'll be tweeting it out, and the Raiders give you great support with that. Fred, thanks for making time. Busy weeks between Christmas and New Year's. Have a great New Year, and I'll see you real soon when you get out to either Vegas or I get up to see you at the house. And thanks again for doing this. Really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself, and Happy New Year.
So thanks again to Fred Biletnikoff for joining us. And as we wrap up the official Raiders podcast from the Mighty 1090, he was on the sidelines in Philadelphia for Monday Night Football on the Eagles-Raiders call. My good friend and legendary San Diego sports talk host, Scott Kaplan. And Cap, let's begin. You were there for Monday Night Football. How did the Raiders not win that game and put it away? It looked like the Eagles kept giving them chances to win.
You know, it's amazing. I'm still thinking to myself, like, did the Raiders win that game? Because they played a really good game until, you know, Derek Carr throws that ridiculous interception at the end. I thought that the Raiders ran the ball, JT, maybe better than I've seen them run it all year against the number one rush defense in the NFL. Explain to me how that happened last night with no Donald Penn.
Yeah, I thought that they played really violent again with Marshawn Lynch. He was running hard. And then, Cap, you know this because you were there, just the inability for the Raiders to pick up first downs. I mean, on a night where they stopped on defense, Nick Foles was 1 of 14 on third down conversion. The Raiders kept getting the ball back on offense, and if they were able to connect in the passing game, I thought they comfortably would have put the Eagles away.
Absolutely. You know, and it's amazing because Crabtree had a play in the end zone, it looked like. And, you know, Boomer Esiason was saying on the broadcast, you know, he's got to make that catch. You know, ball hit him right in the numbers. And, you know, I thought that the defensive back actually got his hand in there and knocked it away before the ball was able to be caught. Either way, you know, they had their opportunities. There were so many chances for the Raiders in this game. And, you know, the Eagles, to have the number one seed and to be in what most people consider to be the better conference, the NFC, to be at home last night, to have the weather, the crowd, all the statistics, everything said the Eagles should have crushed the Raiders last night. And the Raiders, I got to say, showed up. Or the Eagles and Nick Foles are just not, it's not going to happen for these guys this year.
Well, Scott Kaplan's our guest. What's interesting on that for the Eagles is they got the ultimate Christmas present. They got home field and the bye week. So even with Nick Foles playing probably the worst game that he's played in a while, and he's a backup quarterback, Peterson and the Eagles are going to get the added time, Scott, to get him ready with that home bye week, something that the Patriots are accustomed to every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, Peterson and Frank Reich, their offensive coordinator, these guys were career backup quarterbacks. And now they've got to work with a guy who at one time showed promise. I mean, obviously, Raiders fans know the game in 2013 where he threw 7 touchdowns against the Raiders. And obviously, it was a very different Raider team back then. But still, I mean, the guy has had some really big numbers. And, he his claim to fame, if you will, is that he doesn't turn the ball over. And last night, he was terrible. God, he was just so unathletic. And I really thought of Foles as being a more athletic kind of a quarterback, but he just looked slow and big. And then late in the game, he looked limpy. Well, the thing is just walking around the streets of Philly this morning, you're stopping in the Starbucks and talking to people. And they, you know, they say this Foles is, it's not going to happen with this kid. People are pretty down on him this morning, just listening to radio here in town too.
Wrapping up with Scott Kaplan. The reason I wanted to have you again on the Official Raiders podcast, because last year at this time, you and I saw it with our own eyes, the amount of Raider fans that showed up in San Diego, well over 55,000 showed there. Now Raider Nation gets to go to Carson. You've been one of the most vocal sports talk hosts nationally, let alone what you do in San Diego at the highest level with the Chargers and relocation. After going 0-4, the Chargers are right in the hunt here. If they can beat the Raiders and get some help, what's it been like covering the Chargers in San Diego, and how much support do you think they're getting in Los Angeles?
Well, first of all, my only way to combat what they did to the city of San Diego is to completely ignore them. And JT, I'd be lying if I said I didn't talk Charger football sometimes on the radio, but I'm talking way more Rams than I am Chargers. Because that's my only way, and as a voice of the fan base, that's our only way of really combating what they did. Look, we've been flying planes over the stadium in Carson, and I say stadium, that cute little soccer facility they play in. We've been flying planes over every week. We've been having listeners vote. We've been doing everything we can just to kind of needle them and get under their skin. But the best thing we can do is make them irrelevant and ignore them. You know, it's so funny you mentioned this because I talked to Mark Davis about it last night. A year ago, Mark Davis looked like the loser in all of this. The day that Dean Spanos announced it was a Charger-Raider game, that he was leaning towards going to L.A. And Mark and I laughed last night because ultimately, Mark Davis came out the big winner. Now, I know Raider fans in Oakland don't want to hear that. And believe me, I don't want to see the Raiders leave. And I think it sucks that they're leaving. But, you know, Mark Davis is the guy that was going to be Dean Spanos' partner, and he got shot down. And in the end, he pretty much got Bank of America and the state of Nevada to build him a new stadium.
Yeah, it's incredible what's happened in a matter of a year. One last point on this from knowing the Chargers, and you know Phillip Rivers really well, and I'm sure that puts you in a tough spot. You know Drew Brees well. You just mentioned your conversation with Mark Davis in Philadelphia. What do you expect to see out of Rivers in this game? Because he's got to leave it all out on the field, and the Raiders come into this game just looking for something to give them some positive momentum into the offseason where they're not making the playoffs, coming off 12 wins. Give me your quick analysis on Rivers and what he's playing for in this game.
Well, I would say this. First of all, your point earlier about the Raider Nation taking over in San Diego last year, you're right on, they did. And that was a consequence of the Chargers getting out of there. I really hope the Raider Nation takes over the stadium in Carson and makes it a complete blackout of Raider fans, because the Raider games outrate the Charger games in Los Angeles by a mile every week. For Phillip Rivers, you're right. He's got to leave it all on the field. But I would say Derek Carr does too. And I would say that this Raider defense that played really well last night against not a good quarterback, obviously. But, you know, they've got John Pagano now as their defensive coordinator. He worked for the Chargers for years. He was dismissed ugly, as it all seems to always end that way with the Chargers. I would think this Raider defense is going to play inspired. And I would think beast mode in this offense should be feeling really good after what they did last night against Philly.
I know you're away from your family, your large family. You have a lot of kids. You traveled to Philadelphia for Monday Night Football. You have local radio responsibilities. And again, you join me on the Official Raiders podcast. You're a great friend. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the new year, my friend.
JT, for you, anytime, anywhere, as always.
You got it. There he is, Scott Kaplan, joining us on the Official Raiders podcast. We really appreciate that. Again, he has access to Mark Davis. He has access to the players, and he was kind enough to join us. Man, that game ended really late on Christmas night, and he texted me and said, I'd love to come on. And he knew Fred Biletnikoff was coming on. We'd be able to put a nice podcast together before this game in Los Angeles. I really appreciate him joining us on the radio. Now I get to wrap it up with one of the guests that I really enjoy watching and listening to. Jordan Schultz is a Yahoo NFL insider. He's fantastic, and he's really good. He's a must-follow on Twitter if you love the NFL. He's always breaking news. You can follow him at Schultz_report. If you're an NFL, a passionate fan like I am, you'll love to follow him, and he joins us on the Official Raiders podcast. Jordan, thanks a lot for joining us. And first off, the Raiders on Monday Night Football really looked like they had a game they should have been able to win, as the Philadelphia Eagles really struggled in that game, but the Raiders couldn't come back and put it away.
Yeah, you know what? It was one of those games that I think both for Derek Carr and for the Raiders was a microcosm of their season, JT. They, you know, too many missed third down opportunities. The protection for Derek Carr was, again, not great, and unfortunately that's been an issue all year for a line that I think most people, including myself, thought would be very good, if not great. You know, Marshawn ran the ball pretty well, but they just don't have those big plays either. And you know, they got one to Amari, but really it's the inconsistency of the offense on third down. It's a defense that actually played relatively well against the backup quarterback, but if I'm an Oakland fan, I'm frustrated because from a personnel perspective on both sides of the ball, JT, there just aren't many teams in the league that have the type of speed, athleticism, and talent.
I think that's a great point you make about this talent, because eventually we're going to be looking towards next year for the silver and black. I want to stay with the offensive line, because when you take a look at this team and the ability for all of those players, close to 4 out of 5 of them being Pro Bowlers at one point the last couple of seasons, they should be dominant. They should be one of the top 3 offensive lines in all of football. Do you criticize the scheme more or individual play of some of these players?
I'd say more so the latter. I mean, you know, when you think about the players they have on that line and what you are paying for, guys got to make plays. Guys have to block. And it's not just the run blocking or the pass blocking. It's both. You know, we talk about Donald Penn and how, you know, he doesn't play Monday night. But, you know, he was not having a great year either. You know, Sharp has not been great. Newhouse has been okay. You know, they have to play Alexander. I mean, at some point, scheme becomes irrelevant and guys just are not playing well. And, you know, I'm disappointed in the sense that, like, I thought Oakland was going to be a potential Super Bowl team. And I don't know if part of that's on the coaching staff, I'm sure. But, you know, guys are – they just did not play well. And if you look at the time for Derek Carr – the inability to have time to throw the ball and go through his reads, now part of that's on him. But compared to last year, before the injury, it's significantly lower. So that's a big issue as well.
Jordan Schultz is our guest. Jordan, I see it with Carr. I know he's playing somewhat injured. That back injury was severe coming off the broken leg on Christmas Eve a year ago. If you look at the way Carr is now standing in the pocket, making decisions, checking down underneath, I'm not seeing a lot of receivers getting open. I don't know if he's missing shots downfield because he's hesitant and he's checking down, or I don't know if these are different routes that are being run over the last couple of years when Carr had a little bit more time, even if it's a half a second, and the ability to step up in the pocket and hit guys that are open in one-on-one coverage or guys who are breaking free across the middle of the field. I'm not seeing that this year. How do you see it?
No, that's fair. I think, you know, I don't know what happened to Amari Cooper. This is a guy that was a 1,000-yard back-to-back player, you know, a Pro Bowl guy both years, comes in this year reportedly in great shape. I mean, I spoke with him in the offseason about, you know, his diet and his sleep and how he felt like he was really amping it up. He was clearly not the same guy this year. You know, the inability to get off, get into routes, drop balls. You know, Crabtree has had some big games. I still think he was their most consistent receiver this year. I think part of that is on Derek Carr, though, because he's not, like, I feel like when I watch him, I see a guy that is not confident in the pocket, is a little happy with his feet, and just not that accurate. His completion percentage is 62.4, which is lower than last year by about 2%. His yards per throw is down as well. His QBR is the lowest since his rookie year. I'm not sure how you put the blame all on him. I don't think that's fair. But, yeah, I think to a degree guys on open, I feel like they really need to go out and get a burner type of receiver, because that, to me, would probably help guys like Crabtree and Cooper, who in a sense are more possession type of guys.
I don't think that anybody could really criticize Marshawn Lynch over the last couple of weeks. I mean, this team is down in a lot of games, so Marshawn's going to lose touches. When he is running, he's running extremely hard. It's taking two or three guys to bring him to the ground. It's just, I believe that the Raiders at times are giving up on second down and just running it into the pile. And there's so much pressure, Jordan, on them to execute on third down conversion, because the way I see it is I don't see the Raiders attacking, going for first downs on second down. It always seems like it's first down, second down, and then it's third and long, and that takes Marshawn Lynch pretty much out of that play. Assess Marshawn Lynch and the addition in Oakland and how you think that fits, Ben.
Oh, well, no, it's a great point. They're so predictable on second down. It's very similar to my criticism of Atlanta, and it's not exactly the same because Atlanta's had more success this year, but you're going in that second and 10, and it's just like an automatic run. And it's very predictable. If you go look at Marshawn's numbers, his yards per carry was really good this year, 4.2. He had a stretch, JT, of a two-game stretch where he got just 15 carries. And there were games this year where I felt like he was really rolling, and they go away from him. You know, I've gotten to know Marshawn the last few years. There's not a guy that's going to run harder. There's not a guy that's, to me, you know, more competitive from the running back position. He is a guy that needs carries. He needs touches. He gets stronger as the game goes on. And unfortunately, they just have not fed him that. You know, he hasn't been that consistent workhorse. When he's gotten the ball, the 20-plus carries, typically he's been very effective, and the offense has been better, especially play action. They haven't done it consistently, though.
Jordan Schultz is our guest. Yahoo NFL Insider, as you can tell, he's really good. He knows this team. He covers the entire NFL. You know, this is the team's official podcast, and I'm not here as the owner or the general manager making decisions on what's going to happen next year, but I think it's fair to everybody, and especially those on the outside of this organization, that drastic changes will be made in regards to personnel. You bring in Gerrion Conley, who wasn't able to be healthy. Obi came in to be another kind of slot secondary player that can guard a tight end. He was injured. Reggie Nelson had an interception Monday night. I think Carl Joseph is getting better and better with all the reps he's getting. Bowman comes in at the linebacker position, and I really think stabilized that defense. Mack is an incredible player, and that defensive line has had a lot of turnover, Jordan, the last couple of years, where it seems like they're looking for that one-star player. Mario Edwards Jr. can't stay healthy. Jelly Ellis plays at a reasonably well level from time to time, but I think you would agree there's going to be big turnover on the defensive side of the football for the Raiders.
No question. They're ninth total defense. I want to say 21st in passing defense. So they haven't been able to get off the field. You mentioned Khalil Mack. There is not a more enticing player to build the defense around in the entire league. you know, quality human being, gets it, gets what they're trying to do, excellent player. There's nobody better. I'm a big Carl Joseph fan. I have seen significant improvement this year, but they need to go out and get another corner. And I think you mentioned the Conley. Like, at some point this season, he just, you know, he wasn't healthy. It's disappointing because he's a, you know, a first-round type of guy, and everybody's excited about him. At some point, though, they're going to need to make some decisions. Who can we move on from? You mentioned Reggie Nelson. I think there is going to be significant turnover, especially in the secondary. But I do believe in terms of Pillar's foundation, JT, that Joseph and Mack, from the linebacker and the corner or in the safety position, you know, you're not going to get much better than that. And they're both young guys. So that is at least a big positive moving forward.
Finally, as we wrap it up, the coaching staff's getting a lot of heat, obviously. Jack Del Rio is trying to get these guys ready to play fast, and he's the type of guy who is passionate. It's a hometown connection for him when he came back. This was a 12-win team last year. I want you to specifically, as we wrap this up, talk about the motivation for this Charger game down in Carson, California. The Raiders and the Chargers were initially supposed to move to Carson together. Relocation begins. The Raiders end up in Vegas. The Chargers will be in Carson until the stadium is in Inglewood. The Chargers beat the Raiders already this year on a last-second field goal. And the Chargers, after going 0-4, have been one of the more consistent teams in all of football. I think there's a lot to play for the Raider organization trying to knock the Chargers out of the playoffs.
First of all, that there's that and a long history against one another. Also, I think on another level, JT, playing for Jack Del Rio's job to a degree. The offense trying to show that there is something there to move forward to build on. You know, they were held under 300 yards again Monday night against Philadelphia. You know, they missed 10 out of their 13 third downs. The Chargers have talked about a defense that has played pretty much wiped out the second half. Ingram and Bosa, that is a fantastic 1-2 punch. To me, there's a lot to play for. Teams are looking at this game, like Oakland's looking at this game as, this will be the last opportunity to really evaluate players. So players always want to play hard. Like, they have no interest in tanking or trying to get a better draft pick. So to me, Oakland, there's a lot to play for, especially because the Chargers are clearly trying to get into a wild card in the AFC. So I, as an NFL guy, I'll watch this game because I want to see what type of effort they go out and give Jack Del Rio, who clearly is on one of the hottest seats in the league.
Outstanding work that you do. Tell everybody where they can find your work, where they can find you on social media.
At Schultz _ report on Yahoo. And JT, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks a lot for doing this. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next year. Have a great new year.
You too.
Thanks again to Jordan for joining us again. Give him a follow on Twitter and social media. You'll really appreciate it. He is that good. That's it. I want to thank my good friend Bobby Machado, who helped me put the podcast together every week. Everyone at Silver and Black Productions, who gives me this platform every week to bring you some of the biggest guests in the NFL and the Raider content that you need going from opponent to opponent. And next year, I hope it's a better season because expectations were high this year for the Silver and Black coming off 12 wins. And on top of that, I know there's a lot of proud players in that locker room, a lot of players that love the team, love the organization, and are going to have a lot to prove going into Carson, California, taking on the Chargers. And with the will to knock the Chargers out of any postseason conversation, but they're going to have to show up on the field, play hard, and get out of there with a win and get home to their family and friends in time for a great New Year's Eve. Thanks again, everyone. We appreciate you podcasting this show on iTunes at Raiders.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And thanks for another exceptional year on the Official Raiders Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. We'll be right back.